A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 268. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about demons. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, a 2009 series from ITV. Just 6 episodes of about 45 minutes each, so not an awful lot of content, but some supernatural goings on, Brian.
Yeah, supernatural demon hunting in modern-day London, with some references back to much older fiction that we'll get to in a minute or two.
Yes, those older fiction references perhaps are the sort of the fun aspects of this series, which we will, as you say, get to. But the other thing, of course, is that I'll be mentioning as we go along, because it certainly stood out for me, was whether or not this was an attempt to be a British Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And that's something that I'll come back to later on. But we have got some stuff to talk about along the way before we get to all these other references.
Absolutely. The setup in this is about a young man who discovers that he is a descendant of Abraham Van Helsing. And he is recruited to fight, and as they often say, to smite, half-lives, which are also referred to as demons.
Yes, all sorts of supernatural creatures, and to fight them, he sort of joins a quirky band of demon hunters, who we'll detail in a moment, and they get a different supernatural threat each week, so there is a sort of Monster of the Week sort of theme to this show. Plus, they'll encounter some various other sort of creatures and allied sort of, I suppose, underground characters, but we'll talk about those as well.
Yes, absolutely. And all the time, he is living the life of a young Londoner in college and going to parties and so on, and looking after his mother while she's looking after him, living at home. So you have this type of thing as well.
Yes, modern London life, or at least modern London life from about 8 years ago now, I guess.
Yes, indeed. So looking at the characters, Luke Rutherford was played by Christian Cook, who had appeared as a guest character, Luke Scarlet, in the 2007 Robin Hood, and also played Ross Jenkins in the Sontaran stratagem on Doctor Who. Luke is a young man who lives with his mom in London, in an apartment there, and he finds out from an old friend of the family that he is in fact a Van Helsing, and discovers that he has the powers, if you will, of greater than normal strength and speed, and he is easily able to pick up some martial arts and join this effort fighting these half-lives.
Yes, and of course the person he discovers his heritage from is Rupert Galvin, played by Philip Glenister from Life on Mars. And he is he's a sarcastic American demon hunter. He's Luke's godfather. He was his Luke's father's best friend. And he sort of tells Luke about his heritage and, you know, the fact that he is a Van Helsing and that he's got a job to do in smiting demons. And we also learn a little bit about Galvin's back history, because his wife was killed by a half-life. And so he has a particular sort of emotional sort of vengeance element to his own part in the battle against the demons, which obviously drives him onwards.
Yes, yeah, so on the one hand, you have Rupert stepping into Luke's life as a sort of surrogate father figure, but coming into things while Luke is a teenager. But on the other hand, he's also coming in and bringing him into this world of demon hunting. So there's some interesting things with that there. Mina Harker, played by Zoe Tapper, who we remember from the television remake of Survivors, and also from the Big Finish Survivors audios. Mina Harker is a blind concert pianist who has these psychometric abilities that allow her to get some information about objects and people through touching them. And she is very much a part of this world and the demon hunting and so on. And yes, she is that original Mina Harker that you may well remember from your horror literature.
Yes, our second connection to Bram Stoker's Dracula. We'll be coming back to that as well. And that leaves us with the fourth member of the demon hunting gang, Ruby, played by the actress Holiday Granger. Ruby is a young woman who is Luke's friend at college. And what I quite liked about her is that she's not a damsel in distress. She is a sort of resourceful, intelligent young woman who figures out quickly what's going on and insists on being involved. And she becomes sort of part of, dare I say it, the Scooby gang. Yeah, helping with the fight against the Half-Lives. There is some sort of possible romantic involvement in that she seems to be romantically interested in Luke, but his attention always seems to be elsewhere, either in terms of his duties as a demon smiter or in his, I suppose, everyday life as a student.
Yes, and Ruby is always insistent to be part of this demon hunting team, even though much of the time she's being told that she shouldn't be, and it would be safer for her to just go and live her life.
Yes, as you say, always involved and always active in the episodes. Not so involved, we see her occasionally, is Luke's mom, Jenny Rutherford, played by Saskia Wickham. Some nice moments between her and Luke. She's a teacher. She obviously, you know, shares the apartment with Luke. And she's beginning to wonder about Luke because he's becoming, I suppose, a bit more distant. He's a bit more secretive, obviously. She isn't aware of any of his heritage or any of this sort of goings on with the Half-Life world. So she's obviously a bit puzzled by the changes in her son. But there you go. What can you expect when he turns out to be a demon hunter, I guess?
Yes, whenever you have someone who has a secret life, you have to have a character who doesn't know about that to show how people are excluded from that when they don't know. And in this show, really, it's the mother, Jenny Rutherford, who takes on that role. So getting into a little bit more depth, Galvin teaches Luke about his legacy and his heritage and helps him learn how to punt demons and, of course, how to smite them, as they say. And there is some weaponry with a bit of steampunk influence that does sort of odd things that affect demons and in some cases don't affect people. There's an odd sort of ray gun. And of course, there's some kung fu and martial arts training as well.
Yes, Galvin has some, I suppose, temporary martial arts assistants from time to time who train Luke. And I suppose it's all forms of martial arts. But Luke, of course, again, perhaps referencing The Matrix, does get to say, "I know kung fu," I think at least once or twice during the series. And there is, as you say, some fighting and some weird weaponry.
Of course.
And together with Mina and Ruby, as we've said, they form this team of smiters. And what would a team be without an underground base? And of course, it's a library where they will research the different types of demonic threats that they're encountering in each episode. Mina will perhaps be telling them something using her special abilities, and they'll be coming up with a plan as to how to go forth and smite the bad guys.
And Mina also brings a lot of knowledge to things, and she will tell people exactly what book on what shelf to take to find some information and so on.
She's a very competent librarian for a blind lady.
Indeed. Along the way, you have a variety of villains here. Gladiolus Thripp, played by Mackenzie Cook, and Tobias Tibbs, played by Kevin McNally, are interesting ones. There are always these half-lives or demons, and I think we can mention that in some cases they are vampires as well.
Yes, obviously there is a sort of vampire theme strongly influenced in this show, which we'll keep coming back to.
They sometimes get advice from the enigmatic Father Simeon, played by Richard Wilson, who apparently is a number of centuries old and is hidden away in this church, where they come to find him from time to time. And there are themes about who is more trustworthy. Is Father Simeon honest and trustworthy, and Rupert Galvin maybe not so much, or is it the other way around? And we get some of those kinds of storylines in there, which were kind of nice.
And as we've said, they have a weekly threat or demon or half-life to battle or to research and to find some way of combating the threat. So as we've said, there are vampires in this show, but there's also a possible fallen angel. There's a creature referred to as a harpy. Tobias Tibbs is a strange rat-like demon. It's all, you know, there's the threat of the week and some library work to be done.
And they have this odd thing where they don't give names to the different groups of half-lives. They have numbers, so they'll refer to some little annoyances, little things that scurry around as a type 2 or a type 3, and the numbers get higher as they become more powerful. But they often don't name them, except with the sort of obvious ones of referring to vampires or harpies. But generally, they're not naming them, which was a little bit unusual. But they did take that approach certainly earlier on in the series.
And as we've said, when Luke and Ruby are not fighting demons, they are young Londoners attending college. I guess they're supposed to be in their late teens. And so they have all that sort of usual stuff of going to parties, having college deadlines and exams, and of course, tricky relationships, meeting new people. Some of them may not all be what they seem because of the nature of this show and so on. So there's them that young adult life show, I guess, as well, Brian.
Yeah, there are elements of that in here for sure. So getting into our production notes, Demons was a production of the Shine production company that also made Hex for Sky One and Merlin for the BBC. The series was created by Johnny Capps and Julian Murphy, who also produced Merlin and Atlantis.
Yes, there's a sort of, feel to their productions. They do seem to be perhaps loosely linked in a sort of similar way. This series, written by Peter Taburn, Lucy Watkins, and the name that stood out to me was Howard Overman, who we know for creating Misfits, I believe, Brian.
And also Dirk Gently for television on BBC Four.
Oh, of course, that's right. He did do that as well, didn't he? We've got directors Tom Harper and Matthew Evans. Not, again, names that stand out to me, but, they do some interesting stuff with this show.
And the music was composed by Jack Arnold, and the theme song was Eyes of the Night by the Starlight Mints.
Yes, it has a sort of monster lyric to it, so it's appropriate, and it's also quite lively and upbeat, dare I say it, in a sort of Buffy the Vampire theme song way, but we'll, I'll keep saying that.
Yeah, it is, bringing a current rock song to the show for the title sequence. The makeup and costumes for the demons were pretty well done. There is some CGI in there, but it's fairly limited and, you know, done on a TV budget and time scale, but when it's there, it works reasonably well.
Yes, but as ever with myself, the practical effects stuff seems to work better. You know, the makeup and also the guns and their weird sort of blasters that they fire in a sort of steampunky way. I thought that worked quite well.
Yeah, they did a lot with practical effects and it did work quite well.
And, of course, this is an ITV show, so it was broadcast on the ITV network starting in January 2009. And as you can probably tell from that date and the fact that there are only six episodes, it didn't go on to have a second series. I think, you know, we're not giving too much away, Brian, when we say that the reception and the reviews for this show weren't great at the time. And then Philip Glenister announced that he wouldn't be interested in doing a second series. And I guess he was the big name, and I suppose it was doomed not to come back for any more after these six episodes.
Yeah, certainly the combination of not being that well received and reviewed and having the big name not coming back for a second season was probably it. It did air on BBC America in January of 2010.
Okay, so let's talk about availability of this show. Here in Region 2, I've been looking at the DVD from Amazon, which at current time of recording is going for about £7. But I notice, strangely enough, there is a Blu-ray of the show, which is going at the moment for just over £4, bizarrely, that the Blu-ray is cheaper, but there you go. So my DVD set just has the six episodes spread over two discs, no extras that I can find at all, which struck me as a little bit strange. I wondered, you know, how hard is it to make a making of feature for these DVD releases? But perhaps, again, it's a marker of the fact that this show wasn't altogether successful. You can rent it if you subscribe to the Love Film service, but I can't find Demons on any of the streaming services, and it's not on iTunes that I can see here in the UK. But of course, that Blu-ray at £4 is dirt cheap, so there is a way of getting hold of it. Meanwhile, as ever, in Region 1...
In Region 1, there is no release. The Region 2 DVD shows up on Amazon.com for about $30, and even secondhand copies for less than a dollar, I think, at times. So you can find copies of the Region 2 version floating around.
Okay, so it is out there. You can get a hold of it fairly cheaply. It's perhaps a shame that we haven't got any extra features, but there you go, just the six episodes.
So next time we will talk a little bit more about some of the individual episodes of Demons, and we will explore the connections to Dracula and also to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, I think we've got to talk about the Dracula connection because it's perhaps one of the more interesting things about this show. But I'll also be coming back to this idea of a British Buffy. But more to talk about next time. And of course, we'll get to our own views about this show. You know, it didn't get a great reception, but we'll give our own recommendations and reviews of this particular box set and whether you should be spending your hard-earned money on a copy as well.
Yes, that's right. So until then, you can find all of our episodes, supernatural or otherwise, on BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for us on Facebook, you can find our group and join in with some of our discussions.
And you can also find us on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. British Invaders is a proud member of that network of internet streaming radio shows where we go out Mondays and Tuesdays on vognetwork.com.
So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Come back for some more demonic fun in our next episode, and until then, Eamon in England also signing off.